All right. Before we get into our show this week, we're going to talk about our sponsors, Flipboard. So with so much content whizzing around out there, there's only one storytelling platform that helps you keep calm and stay informed and inspired. And that place is Flipboard.
So Flipboard curates the world's stories so you can be smarter in your work, life, and play. Choose from thousands of topics to personalize Flipboard and get the latest stories from the best publishers and experts delivered to you 24/7.
When you see stories that you want to save or share, tap the plus button. To add them to a private or public collections is just that simple.
And Flipboard is used by millions of people every day. It's how people move themselves and the world forward.
So get started now at Flipboard.com.
But they didn't have to see what I saw. And I have to put that out there as fact. He brutalized my sister.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't just like maybe I hit her too hard and she hit her head.
Oh, wow.
He murdered her brutally.
Welcome back to Conspiracy Club. I'm Tom.
And I'm Emir.
And for a second time, to finish out this Chris Benoit story, we have Chad here.
Yes, hello everyone. I am back, ready to talk about some heartbreaking shit, guys.
Where are we?
Well, I was going to say, you know, it's not heartbreaking. And now I'll finish that. You know, it's not heartbreaking, Tom. The illustrious Anmore Media Studios, which is, of course, where we are today. You know, it's great. You know, isn't this just a beautiful studio? The hot tub in the corner, like... It really just sets the mood.
The cucumber water he hands us when we walk
exactly.
in.
Exactly. Yeah. You guys get cucumber water. Me and Grant get like martinis. We already discussed this in the Pistons
pivot.
Like,
I did add that to my writer.
Yeah.
When you guys' Anmore Media contracts come up, just ask for martinis and I'm sure it'll be in the clause.
I will.
All right. But what we're actually continuing this episode, not about the stew. It's about Chris Benoit.
Yeah. So this last week we deep dove into the Last week we deep dived into the wild wrestling.
I don't know what it is actually because both of us sound wrong.
Last week we talked about
there you go
the deep life of Chris Benoit.
Yeah.
And talked about his rise.
His rise and like, you know, his eventual, you know, divorcing. Well, almost divorce of his wife, Nancy, the first time, which they end up getting back together, as we all know.
And they had a killer marriage.
They d- oh. Oh. Wow. I wish I could have came up with something. You can... Oh, okay. You might say Nancy was tied up
oh,
by this
no.
one.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's where we're going. Comment. So we'll see.
Oh, I take
that joke back. Now I feel bad.
Wow.
So this week we talked about
knocked him dead with that one.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Last week we talked about how famous he was and how he got to that where he was, and we kind of ended it with by suggesting that he was going through some marital problems with his wife.
Yeah, and then
we're giving you the hint of what's to come.
Yeah. So we ended off at the marital problems and also him winning and main eventing the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. So this is where we're gonna pick up at WrestleMania.
Yes.
So this is all coming from the Talk is Jericho interview with Nancy Benoit's sister.
Which your boy hooked you up with.
Yes, you did. And yeah. Part of me was sad that you did, because now I'm even more hurt about this story.
Because as soon as I was driving home for the holiday, and as soon as I remembered the podcast, I pulled over and turned it on. Because I was like, oh, I have to listen to this. Because I just felt like it's a side that like we wouldn't get before, and I feel like it's pivotal if you're talking about this.
It really is. So, and there's a lot of it to deep dive into. So that's what we're going to do. So let's jump into this Wrestling with Conspiracies Part 2. That was my plug for
thank you
what I called it. But all right, so here we go.
I'm going to let you wrestle with that for a minute.
Yeah. Oh, yes. But this is Talk is Jericho. Sandra... I forgot what Nancy's real last name. I said it in the last episode, so you can say it. But so we're picking up after WrestleMania.
Benoit.
Yeah, oh, not that. This is where we're picking up. So after
Benoit.
WrestleMania.
Yeah, Benoit.
It's also not that. After WrestleMania is where his sister-in-law, Sandra, says he began to change. Chris would begin to disappear, but he would call you, and if you missed the call, he wouldn't call back for months. Jericho called him the Loch Ness Monster. he became very paranoid with his family. When he would go to the gym, he would take different routes in cars following the win of his championship. He began to have a short temper, and he wouldn't want to go out to restaurants anymore because he wouldn't want Nancy. I mean, he would want Nancy or Sandra to pick up the food. Nancy chalked it up to him being afraid that people will harm his family after WrestleMania, because when you're on top like that, people might, you know how crazy people
are. We talked about the thing where they beat up, they really beat up people and took their belts
yeah,
and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, you know. So,
and they said, in the, and she said in the podcast that she knows of wrestlers who have had like their kids like kidnapped.
What?
Because yeah, they're big, popular, famous wrestlers, you know? It's just like kidnapping a celebrity's kid, like that ransom money. And yeah, I think that's like one of the things that she was trying to touch upon, was everyone just chopped it up to Chris being like, I, you know, I'm this big top dog in the biggest company in the world. Like, you know,
no,
my kids could now be in trouble or in harm. So, and then, you know, I think there was definitely more going on, but I but I do think that was
a
tributing factor to it.
So, yes. So Chris, she says, was always kind to her, to his fans. He would always ask people who would come up to him what type of job they had, because he was never sure how long wrestling would last for him. So he was always looking for like, maybe I'll do this, because, he never had a job outside of wrestling. It was it for his whole life. It's only been wrestling. He never was like a pizza guy at a point. It was just wrestling for him. And she goes on to talk about how Nancy and Chris were great parents. Chris, whenever home from the road, he would spend all the time with his family. He was an avid reader, and he loved music. Would always ask for CD burns. He was a huge Eminem fan and Pantera. He loved uppity music. I thought you would relate to that.
Yeah, he's like, you,
Pantera, huh? Cowboys from Hell.
Yeah, you.
I fuck with it.
Are you an Eminem fan?
I mean, I'm not like a mega fan, but like, who doesn't like Eminem?
Yeah, he's uppity. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So all the guys in the locker room loved and look up to Chris. Prior to the murder, he left the house and Nancy filed a restraining order, talking about earlier, but we're going to deep dive actually into it.
Okay.
So Sandra says that Chris pushed Nancy into an island in their kitchen. And she had been through it before and refused to let it happen again. And then she began to look to attorneys and trying to make sure the restraining order stuck to him. Like, this was it.
Well, struck might have been right.
Yeah. And this went on for like 2 or 3 weeks until Mike Durham, which is Johnny Grunge from Public Enemy.
Yeah.
It's a wrestling group that was huge in ECW and WCW. They were like the first ones to start putting people through tables, really, in America, mainstream wise. And yeah, he talks to both of them and he begins to try to smooth things over with them, which he then uses Sandra to talk to Chris, who then convinces Sandra to let Nancy talk to him, which then they worked out things. And that was 2 years before the murder. So after all that, Sandra ends up working it out and getting her sister back with her husband.
Yeah.
Which
she probably regrets now.
Yeah. 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 So she believed that the work and feeling his age at his job without him ever working another job began to make him freak out. And Nancy, who'd managed Chris already, had already had plans to open up a wrestling school. And Chris was nervous about that, but Nancy would like went super far with it. Like, she had shirts already made and stuff like that.
And apparently Sandra has in her basement, like you said in the Talk of Jericho interview, just a big box of Benoit Wrestling Academy shirts.
Oh my gosh. For your life, I need one of those.
Oh, see, as soon as I heard that, I was like, fuck, I want a Benoit Wrestling Academy shirt.
I was
like, oh god, like that'd be
a sick wrestling school, like, if it would have worked out.
Oh yeah, because that would have been a great wrestling school if it would have worked out. And like, and the entire Benoit name is like an infamy now, but like, I don't know, I would probably still get the Benoit Academy shirt just to say I had one.
Yeah, but Chris was, so back to the wrestling school, he was not, you know, he was too nervous.
Actually, I have a question, Rob. So she's just holding on, why she hasn't thrown him out?
She's just, yeah, she still has him.
Yeah.
Interesting. Her sister, I think that's an interesting point, maybe, that she hasn't like tossed him out, but she also isn't like doing anything.
I feel like in a way, like, I don't know, that's a t-shirt that your sister made. You know what I mean? It could in a weird way still kind of tie you to that. Like, I don't know. I've got my actually in this pocket right here. I have my cousin who's passed away, is like little like wristband thing. So like, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it's just a shirt, but like, I don't know, I could tie her there.
Yeah, I get that.
I mean, the Benoit name probably doesn't sit too kind with her, like, as it would. Or it might. I don't know. But, like,
she says later on that she's not, like, she's not completely still mad because she said that Nancy would want her to kind of move on and not, like, completely hold it against him still.
Yeah.
But she's still pissed off, but not to the degree she was at first.
Yeah.
But all this nervousness that he has started to boil into the relationship, and then this is when it started to push him over. So in 2005, his best friend, Eddie Guerrero, dies of heart failure. Which I remember exactly where I was.
I didn't say, I remember what I was, where I was and what I was doing when I found out Eddie Guerrero died.
I was in my car. I mean, not in my car. I was with my mom. She was driving. I was in my mom's car. We were listening to AM radio and they were talking about random shit. And then out of nowhere, they're just like, wrestler Eddie Guerrero dies of heart failure. And I was like,
I was eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, watching cartoons. And then my mom came in and told me, and I was like, oh, no.
Yeah. No, I was
not Eddie Guerrero.
Heartbroken when that happened. He was my favorite wrestler. And even though he was like a heel at the time or a bad guy, I still fucking love
him. See, I've always liked bad guys. I've always, even when I was a kid, like okay, for example, like the Hardy Boys, you know, everyone's like, I love Jeff Hardy. And I think Jeff Hardy is a very boring wrestler. Don't get me wrong. His high-flying ability is impressive, but as a character, he bores me to tears. No, I like a character, that's going to go into this random fucking town in, like, Mississippi and bash the town, get the entire arena to boo them, and then still makes you go, but God damn it, you're a good boy. I don't know. I like a good villain, so I always root for bad guys.
Yeah, I understand that because they usually have more character, like, they're more deep.
I just think it'd just be more fun to play a bad guy
that
in
too.
Wrestling.
Like, meanwhile, like, baby faces or good guys literally are just like, it's like they call them white meat baby faces for a reason because there's literally like, I'm a good guy and that's it.
Yeah. I don't cheat. I fight with them. Unless you're Stone Cold.
Stone Cold. No, but
like,
he's
there's like
tweener.
There's like those edgy baby faces.
Those are tweeners.
Yeah,
they're
but
in
like,
between.
I don't know. I want to be a scoundrel.
There's a gray area.
Chicken shit heel.
But like, heels are like, I'm shitty.
Yeah.
I'm cheating.
I'm going to cheat and hide behind my 7 foot tall, like, bodyguard.
Yeah. And then when we do fight, I'm going to cheat to win.
I'm
going to
hit you with weapons, hit you in the nuts.
Shit on everything. It's awesome. But so she says, Sandra says that Eddie's death put Chris Benoit into a feeling of permanent bereavement. And Nancy was nervous that something was going to happen to him.
Well, she was right.
And then Johnny Grunge passed away.
Yeah, and this was like months.
Mm-hmm. Months later, Johnny Grunge passes away. And then this wrestler named Black Cat,
who was Chris Benoit's like mentor like,
in
one
Japan,
of his trainers,
he passes away.
Wow, that's just bad things come in threes.
Pause. And then the Big Boss Man, another one of his friends, passed away.
What was happening? Why did they all die? Just happened at the same time.
When you're when you're a wrestler, like, I mean, it's pretty much accepted in the wrestling community, too. When you're a wrestler, you're probably going to die early.
Yeah.
Because for one thing, the job is physically demanding. Like, you're purposely, like, taking bumps. And especially back in the... And even now, like, you know, wrestlers pop painkillers like it's candy because they're constantly in pain, you know? Painkillers are probably... If a wrestler dies of a drug overdose, that's usually... And at least from all the things that I've read and reports I've seen... That's usually what it is because it's so easily accessible and it's just so if you're a wrestler and you go to the doctor, they're going to give you painkillers.
This too, imagine this was vodka, alcohol, crazy. A lot of them mix pills with alcohol. There's a lot of that.
Like,
there's a lot of,
I don't want to stereotype it and be like, oh, they all do. Cause I'm sure there's some that don't, but like,
but
it's back in that time frame, especially like, it's what it was. That's
no,
what
you can
did.
Go back and watch shows that were like around in like 98, 97. And you can literally look at it and be like, he's dead. They can be whole pay-per-views where it's like maybe 5 people alive still.
Yeah.
Wow.
I would watch I'll like watch old YouTube videos of like wrestling, like promos and stuff. And there'll be like 5 people in the ring talking. And I'll be like, God, not a single one of them are alive now. Like, and it's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Because, like, they're, like maybe 15, 20 years older than we are. If they were still around.
Yeah.
Like, and that's crazy.
Yeah. Like, a lot of them, for me, when wrestlers are, when they make it to their 40s, I'm like, holy shit. And then when you get to, like, your 50s still, like, Yeah. I'm used to like, I'm so used to like fucking stories like the Von Erich family or like basically.
That's a conspiracy club story for another time too. About the Von Erichs.
It's five sons. All of them are dead except for one, and they all did not die. Most of them are suicide, and one of them is probably suicide, but they covered it up to make it
and
look like
it was
stomach.
And they all were like a year apart from each other.
Yep.
Wow.
So we're going to talk about that at some point, so stay tuned for that later on.
I'll come on for that one. And then another thing, too, on top of like drugs and stuff, like concussions and like a lot of like brain trauma, too.
Yeah.
Like,
and also, if when you win the WWE Championship, for guys like that, there was so much pressure on them because TV at the time, a lot of wrestling, especially in the big companies, lived by TV and ratings, especially at that time. And the ratings weren't amazing around 2004 and 5. Like it was kind of like a down period, but not really. So a lot of them, like Eddie Guerrero, took it to heart, or Chris Benoit really took it to heart. Eddie Guerrero took it to the heart to the point that he did not want to be WWE champion. Like they forced him to be it. Because he was that popular at the time. But like he was like the first chance that he was able to get that belt off him, he did immediately.
Who was?
Eddie Guerrero.
Okay. And you mentioned Chavo. Who's
that's his nephew.
Chavo was another
I feel like I've heard of Chavo.
Yeah, Chavo is Eddie Guerrero's nephew.
Gotcha. Slash like basically
they've got like brother. They're brothers basically. Yeah. Like, okay.
They were born the same time.
Yeah. They're like the same age.
Yeah, Eddie has a big ass family. But so following
was that five deaths, four deaths?
We're not done yet.
We're not done yet.
But following that death, Chris Benoit calls Jericho crying and saying he can't take any more of his friends dying. And then a year after that, the year later, this is before Eddie dies. And Jericho says that Chris came up to him at the funeral crying like a child, not wanting to be taken away from his mom. And then Jericho thinks that it put him over the edge. And then Miss Elizabeth dies and Sherry Martel dies.
Yeah.
And Nancy called her sister crying, saying that it just won't end. Like, they just won't stop dying. And there was a lot. Sandra says that there was a lot of self-medicating in the house following all those deaths, especially Eddie's. She called it the Judy Garland syndrome. You know who Judy Garland is?
Do you know who she is?
Yes, I do.
She was Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz.
Dorothy. I don't know why I was blanking on that.
That's a story. That's another story. Where they were just like making her chain smoke.
Yeah.
Tons of packs, 10 cigarette packs a day and like
alcoholic.
Do tons of drugs. Yeah.
But taking drugs just to get up and go throughout the day. It was a combo of steroids, drugs, and alcohol. Could have been concussions too. The autopsy never said that he had Alzheimer's or couldn't remember people. She says that she never
autopsy never said that?
Yeah.
Really?
So Sandra says that she never saw Chris ever like be like something like the characteristics of someone with Alzheimer's where they couldn't remember anything. And she's upset that Chris's dad is trying to spin it into a concussion problem in order to take the blame off of Chris. Because if you can just chalk it up to CT, they'll be like, all right, so we have a reasoning to say, okay, that's why he killed her. And that's why I was playing you that clip earlier of her saying, no. Like, it wasn't one of those accidental, like, he accidentally murdered my sister. You might have hit her too hard. No, he brutally murdered her.
And I think it's a combination of I think all of those things, you know, on top of the fact that, you know, he had a drug problem. You know, he was probably immensely depressed. I can't even imagine if I had that many friends die in, like, the span of, like, months. Like, you know, and on top of that and, like, just the immense stress he was going through, like, you could probably have a psychotic break. I definitely
mixed with all the drugs that he was probably already taking.
Exactly. I don't think it's fair to chalk it up to one thing, but I think it's a combination of all of those things as to what did it.
She thinks it was a combination of many things. Problems in the home that she wouldn't talk about. She said that it wasn't an act of someone with brain damage. She understands why people would want to believe that because of how tough it is living without having not knowing a motive of why he did it. She says it was a combo of all drugs, alcohol, roids, and deaths. She said he had a look in his eyes like he always thought he was the next to go. And Chris Jericho, to this day, can't understand how he would kill his son, Daniel. Like, he could understand, like, I guess he could reasonably, like, make Nancy
work. He said in the podcast, he was like, you know, I could see, like, someone being like, oh, I'm so mad I'm going to kill my wife. And he said that really casually. And I was like,
may want to get your wife out of there if I was her.
I was like, oh, that's... No. I can understand getting in a fight, but like, at no point when I was married was I like, I'm so mad at Libby, I'm just going to murder her. Like, yeah. No, never. No, yeah. Absolutely not.
But so he says...
I feel like that's the same thing.
Yeah, thank you.
It is. So she says
I thought that was really weird when he said that.
It was. I was kind of like, I don't know about that. I don't know about that, Chris, but go
maybe,
ahead.
Maybe he
up.
Just means it like... That's an adult to an adult. Like, in what situation would you be like,
I'm going to murder a kid?
I'm going to murder a child.
Yeah, we'll see.
I don't think I'm going to murder anyone, though. Like, that's the thing.
I don't go through my day saying,
I have been pretty angry at points in my life, and I've never been like, I'm going to end your life.
Murder them, man. There's been people where I'm like, I want to put my hands on. I want to beat the shit out of you, but I will stop before I murder you.
I'm going to cease your breath. Yeah. Like,
no. But then she says that she wants to make sure... That people don't believe that maybe, which I'm going to give to Grant as a clip that you hear at the start of the show. It wasn't just a, maybe I hit her too hard. No, he murdered her and he brutalized her. The people didn't have to see what she saw.
Yeah, she said it was really graphic. Yeah,
he murdered her brutally. They allowed her to see the crime scene without the bodies, of course. It was very hard for her to understand why he would kill Daniel, because he understood if anything ever happened to Chris or Nancy, Sandra would take care of him unconditionally. She believes that it was a selfish last act. Nancy was killed Friday evening. I'm not going to get into
this. This is fucked.
I'm not going to get into the actual like shit that happened, like the details of the murder yet. That's later on. But Nancy was killed Friday evening between 11 and 1 a.m. And then Daniel was killed Saturday morning. So he kills Nancy that night. Waits till they say it's 5 the next morning, kills Daniel, and then he killed himself Sunday evening. So he just sat in the house with his wife and kid dead, and then he killed himself. So he spent 2 full days in the house with both of them being dead. By this point, he had gone insane. He called WWE. I'm going to get into this deeper too later on. He calls WWE trying to make a flight and was trying to get to the match for Night of Champions that Sunday, which he was not main eventing, but he was supposed to face CM Punk for the
ECW champion.
Yeah. Forget about WWE ECW. WWE tried to reboot ECW,
and it was always,
but it was
just
shitty.
Just the worst.
Because it wasn't extreme. It was just like, you want to see some, and it was on sci-fi, so they tried to connect it, and they'd be like, this is the wrestler.
This is the Yeti.
Or the zombie.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That just sounds
terrible.
Yeah,
no, it was. And they had, like, a vampire wrestler.
Yeah.
That was his thing. Yeah. It was a wild time. But he defaulted. She says that he probably defaulted to going to work. And then she believes that his psychotic break would lead him into doing this. She's not sure if this was the idea the whole weekend. She does know that he did, in fact, research on the computer the quickest way and easiest way to break a neck. He pulled down the...
Wow.
Yeah, that was in his Google search history.
I'm gonna skip how he kills himself because I'm going to save that for later on. So, Chris Jericho's hypothesis was about why he killed himself was that all the pressure of winning the belt and the death of his friends was choking or killing him. She always thought that it was grotesque that the way he killed himself, which once again I'm going to get into because it shows that he had a thought process to how he killed himself and that he actually thought about it. And he researched it. And also she talks about the weird thing with the Bibles he did. I'm going to expand on that also, because he does some really weird shit with Bibles after the murders. They were not religious people, which was weird because they would only go to church to get Daniel into a private school. He was interested in all types of religions, though, but just to read about them.
Yeah, he wanted to learn about them, but he wasn't practicing anything.
Yeah. Eddie, however, his friend was super religious, and that might have been the cause of why he was interested. I mean, why he did the Bible shit. Because maybe he was like assigned to Eddie, like Eddie watch over them or some bullshit. That's what Chris Jericho tried to spin it as. I was like,
I think too on his end though, like, you know, we gotta also remember, like, that was one of his best friends. And if one of my best friends brutally murdered his family and himself,
I don't know.
I would be looking for anything. Yeah. Like he said, anything to make me feel like my best friend wasn't a maniac.
Yeah.
And he didn't, and he just had a, you know what I mean? Like, anything that could make me be like, oh, my, the guy I've known for so
all
long.
All these years.
Wasn't a sadistic, murderer. Insane maniac, but he had something going on.
Yeah. So, Chris would, in fact, write in a journal to Eddie after Eddie died, because Sandra would do that. She told him to do that because when she had a friend die, she did that. She would write in the journal like the person was still alive, like shit that they would just talk about, usually. But he stopped 3 months before the incident, and she says that she definitely knows that it wasn't an outside source or Kevin Sullivan who did the murder.
Yeah, so there's a conspiracy theory that Kevin Sullivan, the guy who's Chris Benoit, there's a conspiracy theory that he is the reason why, that he was behind the murder.
How so?
I'm not exactly familiar with the conspiracy theory because it's just utter lunacy. But apparently, at least from what I understand, what happened was he murdered in the theory, he murdered all of them and then framed it on Benoit.
Wow.
Like he was able to frame everything and spin it so that everyone blames Benoit for it. And Kevin Sullivan is, and there's podcasts you can listen to, the podcast, because she came onto Chris's podcast originally because he had Bill Apter on, and Bill Apter was the guy telling Chris about the conspiracy theory that it was Kevin Sullivan, and she was like, that's bullshit. I'm going to come on your podcast and say how that's bullshit that is. And so I thought about listening to the Bill Apter podcast, but then I just didn't think about it because it was Thanksgiving, and that's not really how I want to spend my Thanksgiving.
That's such a stupid thought.
Yeah, so that's a conspiracy theory that, like, you know, and some people are on the club of that conspiracy theory.
Wow.
Yeah.
But I'll get into also later on why people think that it was an outside source that killed them. But
aliens.
Yeah. Sandra hadn't talked to Chris's other kids because he had two other kids with his other wife.
Did they not live with him?
No.
No, they were older. Yeah, they were adults.
Yeah, oh, they were around our age now. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Well, my age. And one is older than me.
And Nancy wasn't their mom either. Yeah. So if they weren't old enough to live on their own, they probably lived with Chris's ex-wife.
Yeah, gotcha.
Martina McBride.
Yeah, I wish it was. But Chris's other kid until 2 years ago, so really 4 years ago, because that interview was 2 years ago. When she began talking to David again, his son, he almost destroyed. I mean, David said, or they both said, that he almost destroyed the wrestling business because of the giant media storm that followed them.
Yeah, he almost single-handedly took down WWE.
Wait, who did?
Chris Benoit.
Oh, yeah?
The entire incident almost single-handedly bankrupt and put out of business WWE.
Wow. Yeah, it was huge when this happened.
Like, he almost killed wrestling. Uh-huh. Something that he loved and cared about more than anything in this world. He literally almost destroyed.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, And the wrestling mark in me is like, oh, wrestling wouldn't have died. WWE would have died. But like, if WWE goes down, wrestling's taking a huge hit.
Yes, so yes.
You'd be crazy to say otherwise.
But so then this is how the bodies were found. So the neighbor, Holly, found the bodies, and she told Sandra not to watch TV. So when they were in the house, Sandra and Nancy's, after the murder, after they get the bodies out, they release the house to Sandra
and Nancy's mother. Parents, yeah.
And they were in the house, and they were told not to turn the TV on because they didn't want to see any of the wild shit that was going on with the TV.
Yeah.
Because everyone was just throwing out random bullshit as, like, motives and just shit like that.
Yeah, I remember you said in the first episode of the podcast, you mentioned that
The autism thing. Yeah,
I heard you say it, and I was like, why did that not sit right with me? And I couldn't remember why.
And then I was like,
and then I was listening to the podcast, and I was like, oh, that's why. Because I remembered that she said that.
I remember it. Because then after I read up on it, I was like, wait a minute, what the fuck was I talking about? He didn't have autism.
Yeah.
He was just really shy.
Yeah. He didn't have autism, but there were reports saying on the media that he did.
Yeah.
So that's why I thought. I was like, I mean, there were reports that he did. So. Yeah.
Oh, so okay. That was just something that was flying around.
Yeah.
That was
flying around. That, like, fake, that was in the fake.
It was that fake news.
Yeah. Oh,
it was
gotcha.
That everyone spews about now.
Yeah. But so Holly finds a body. She tells it. So this is when Sandra starts to get into the house. So Sandra and Nancy's mother decided to just clean the house. I mean, clean the dishes in the house. Because they were figured that
dishes
Nancy,
and laundry. Yeah, they started doing household chores because they were like, Nancy wouldn't want their house messy.
She wouldn't want the houses dirty.
Wow.
Yeah, and then they said that they didn't want to sleep in any of the rooms that they had because they didn't want to be anywhere near the bodies where the bodies were, because for some reason every room in the house that they had designated to them was next to where somebody died.
Yeah.
Sandra's room was next to Daniel's room, and he was killed there. Nancy's parents' room was in the basement, and Chris died there. Because
this wasn't just like a regular house. Like Benoit had a mansion, and he had Sandra had her own like level in the house, and it was like her room, and then Daniel's room.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, and then Nancy's parents had their own like floor.
Oh, I didn't realize they all lived together.
Well, I'm sure they didn't all live together, but like when they were there, they had their own places to stay.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, and I'm going to talk about it later on, but he was actually thinking about buying a bigger house where they actually all could stay.
Yeah.
But so they didn't want to be anywhere where the bodies were murdered. And then the media, like CNN, would put the lights on the house just to see if anyone in the house was moving. So any of the family members in the house were moving.
Just to see them just living in the house. Like, oh, Sandra and the Benoit family just doing laundry in the Benoit house. Like,
oh, that's scummy.
Yeah. And they would constantly put out lies in the news, and this was one of the things they lied about, was Chris was putting Daniel on steroids.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, one of the stories
just
was
totally on
The stories was that he was like pumping Daniel with in the arm like with steroids.
Yes.
Wow.
Where
did they even come up with that?
I guess he had like scrapes or something on his arm or some shit. Like, I don't know what they were what their reasoning was, but that really pissed Sandra off.
I mean, as it would. Yeah. Like, if that was my fucking nephew, I'd lose my mind.
Yeah, like, she says that Daniel was very much like Chris and was super shy because Chris was really shy.
She made a reporter like come back on TV and like say, "Oh, I was wrong. I'm sorry." Because she was like, "That's bullshit, and you're going to say that was bullshit."
Wow.
Yeah, she took it to to the reporter and like demanded he backpedal and take it back.
And he did?
And he did.
Wow. Yeah.
And then she said that he's not on the autism spectrum. So I take that back. So it was really wild that on that Friday before before shit went down, or last week, or no, the Friday before the shit, like everyone started getting killed, Daniel actually celebrated his finishing his first horse riding lessons. So they had a barbecue. That's why they cleaned the house, because they were like, the plates were dirty and shit. And she says that Nancy was the nicest person in the locker room. She was known as a locker room mom and always thought of anyone else but herself. She would play many jokes in the locker rooms on... it was this Gordon Solie, who's like this really like iconic announcer or play-by-play guy. She knew that he kind of had a crush on her, so she would kind of fuck with him about it all the time, and he would kind of get like a little like, this is awkward. And her and Sir Oliver Humperdinck would get a good laugh out of that. So I'm pro Humperdinck, by the way.
He's my favorite one of that little cult gimmick. Humperdinck 2018.
Yes. The company
better
made
than the fuck. Never mind. Remember, we're going to politics.
Yeah, no. Pro Humperdinck. Yeah. But so WWE, following this, made a huge change to their drug program and systems and hitting people in the head with chairs, thanks to Chris and Eddie's death. Back in the day, I mean, now they have this three strikes policy. If you get fucked, if you fail three tests, you're fired, basically. Yeah.
The first one's like a slap on the wrist. They're like, hey, don't do that. The second one, they fine you and then they suspend you. And the third time, nah, you're out.
And it's the first one's 60 days, 90-day suspension.
They may even fine you the first time, too. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I know they definitely fine you either on strike two or one or two.
Yeah, and unless you're Randy Orton and you get two strikes and then you don't get one for like a year or two and then you get those two erased. But
RKO out of nowhere.
Yep, yeah. They get RKO out of nowhere.
Yeah. Or you're John Cena and then you just can't see him.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. So she believes that Nancy would want Sandra to forgive Chris, but she still doesn't want to see Chris Benoit matches on Raw. But she does still have affection towards Benoit because of all the good times. But he was erased by the WWE.
Yeah. So now that we're like discussing the death. When this was all happening, they were running a storyline where Vince McMahon gets murdered. Like, while this is happening.
Blowing up in his limousine.
They blow up his limo, and like the entire story is who murdered Vince McMahon. And they were going to have a Monday Night Raw episode, and the episode was, like, they were called it the tribute to Vince McMahon, and it was going to be like a Raw gimmick where they're just like, oh, Vince was a good guy. Like, and yeah. then literally, so the show starts, and I remember watching this episode of Raw.
Same.
I remember watching the episode of Raw. It comes on, empty fucking arena. Vince McMahon is standing in the middle of the ring, and you're like, what? And he's just like, today's Raw was going to be about the alleged demise of my character, Vince McMahon, but, yeah, we actually, unfortunately, have the actual passing of Chris Benoit.
How?
And, and so this episode is going to be the Chris Benoit tribute. And, like, pal. Literally, I'd, like...
Was that the first that you'd heard of it?
That was the first I found. I found out when I saw it on TV.
A lot of people did.
Because, like, I was a little kid. I grew up without internet.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I didn't have a computer. I didn't have anything.
And plus, computers were, like... shitty.
Yeah, this is like 2005,
yeah, but 2007.
Like the dial up like, fucking connection you'd usually
yeah,
have.
I dial
but up. I didn't even have that. So like I find out on TV and like I sat down, like I took a seat, like tears in my eyes, because Benoit was like my fucking guy. I loved Chris Benoit.
What did you know?
Him and Eddie Guerrero both. Like I was like, those are my two guys.
But so since then WWE.
So yeah, so
has
then they had
race.
This giant, oh, yeah. like this just emotional, heartbreaking, like tribute. They're showing Benoit's best moments, his all of his great matches, all of his friends are like saying how great of a guy he was, except for William Regal,
who was like
skeptical
I'm not
as
sure
fuck
about
it.
This.
And like all this shit. And then literally the next fucking day, it gets out what actually happens. And then like so then the next episode of Raw,
they're like,
it's still
whoops.
Vince McMahon. Actually, I think it might have been SmackDown that week.
Probably
the
was.
Next time WWE was on TV,
mm-hmm.
Vince is on there and he's like,
"Hey pal,
hey pal. As far as I'm, as far as the WWE goes, this is the last time you will ever hear Chris Benoit's name mentioned on our TV show." And they have erased everything. If you go to the WWE network, you can type in a wrestler's name and everything they're in the network is there. If you type in Chris Benoit's name in the WWE network, nothing pops up. They have...
Do they not have the footage at all?
No, they do.
They have the footage, but
now.
They can't archive to it. So, like, okay. If you watch an old, like, pay-per-view...
That
like,
he happened to be on?
They have it archived. So, like, you can watch, like, oh, like, if I want to watch, like, you know, a specific match from, like,
Survivor,
you know, Survivor
Series 98,
I can, like... Jump on the pay-per-view, skip to the archives, find the thing I want to watch it, and move on with my day.
And he's in it.
And,
no,
and,
he's
and,
not in
and
that
And if Chris
one.
Benoit, if you watch a pay-per-view or something that Chris Benoit was in, it won't be archived. You have to actually like
search,
like rewind, fast forward, pause, and try to find it. He main evented a fucking WrestleMania, and if you turn that WrestleMania on, it's not archived. You won't
wow.
be able like you'll be able to see it. Because like it still happened, and so you'll just have to actually wait until it comes up and then watch it. Like
yeah,
I wouldn't be able
match.
To just be like, boom, 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 here it is. I'd have to like just wait. I'd either have to rewind it and just try to find it, or just watch it.
Then
that's
you have
pretty
to watch
crazy.
The Mania.
Yeah,
yeah,
they don't mention him at all.
Yeah.
Wow.
So she does believe that WWE should like show footage because he had amazing matches. Oh no, she says that she believes that. So she says that it was strictly a WWE decision of them erasing him. Like she had nothing to do with that. They just got rid of him and said it was done. She believes that they did.
How do you guys feel about that?
I'm fucking fine with it. I don't want to watch a Chris Benoit match. I've never had to like.
I have went back and rewatched Chris Benoit matches because
they are really good.
Really
he
good.
Has some amazing ones.
But as far as them erasing
like that ladder match with Jericho,
there are a lot of people where they're like, yeah, I know. Benoit the person was a murderer, but Benoit the wrestler was a... No, fuck that.
Yeah,
no
it's no, a guy.
Benoit the person who plays Benoit the wrestler murdered somebody. And so therefore, yeah, no, I'm all about what they do. Like, a lot of people are like, he should go in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, we're going to talk about that. Yeah. We're going to talk about that. So let's put a pin in that. So,
a pin?
Yeah, pinned. So what Sandra says, it was a strictly her decision. I mean, a strictly WWE decision to get like erase all that shit. And she believes he should never, ever, ever be in the Hall of Fame.
I agree. Never.
And there's a lot of, like recently that has become a gigantic like thing in the like wrestling community. People have been really wanting like a lot of people. There's a small minority that really want him to be in the Hall of Fame for some reason.
He's a good wrestler.
Yeah.
If he didn't, if, you know, if the whole fucking tragedy didn't happen.
Oh, he would have been in
first
there.
First ballot, he'd probably be in there already.
Yeah.
First ballot Hall of Famer. He was
yeah.
great.
No, yeah.
But he fucking murdered his wife and kid and himself. Like.
No.
No.
And The Rock isn't even in there yet.
Really?
So we
also
have priorities.
True. Yeah, we have The Undertaker's not
yes,
in there.
Yes, there's priorities. But so she does believe that WWE should show more footage of Nancy because Nancy was like a wrestler. I mean, a great manager too. And she was a wrestler.
I'd be okay if Nancy went in the hall.
You can put
Nancy in the Hall of Fame if you want. Just don't put Chris Benoit in
because she cut as well, or is she still in the archives?
No, you can find her stuff.
Well, Nancy was never a wrestler. Yeah. Nancy was like the manager.
She's had some
so like
matches.
I'm sure you
was
could
she his manager or she managed
no she managed she managed Kevin Sullivan and a few other wrestlers. Yeah. And I'm sure if you watched a pay-per-view she was on, you could probably find her. But it wouldn't be, this is Nancy Benoit. It would be like, here's Kevin Sullivan and there's woman. Like it would be like she would just be around.
Los Angeles. And plus WWE, her footage is more older, so it takes WWE takes forever for putting up older shit. Like that 80s period. Somebody, if you're not like fucking WCCW or fucking, I don't know, Jim Crockett, they kind of take their time to put your shit up.
Yeah.
But she does. So at the end, they asked her what was her the one thing she misses the most about them. She says she misses the moments where it could just be her and Nancy watching Law and Order and talking about literally anything and the cautious optimism. So that is,
that was her. That's her take on it. Are you going to talk about what Chavo said? In
yes,
the other thing I
Chavo's
sent you?
Next.
Because I sent Amir and Tom another snippet
Tom did
of
that
a,
look.
Another snippet of a podcast.
I was eating Thanksgiving.
That's fine. And so Chris Jericho was interviewing Chavo Guerrero.
Yeah.
And he gives what happened. He'll tell the story. The day he found out, which is the same day all the wrestlers found out.
Yes.
And he'll give you like that whole side of it too.
So let's get into it. So Chavo, who was traveling with him at the time, says he never saw him mad and he would have to stick up for Chris when guys tried to mess with him. Because Chris was the type of guy who wouldn't be like, you know, I'm going to fuck this guy for messing with me. Even though I've heard other stories in some cases.
The wrestling business is such a big respect-based business, you know. It, like, guys like, you know, back then, Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, but even more so now, like, Chris Jericho, John Cena, the big names, like, okay, so a good story. The Miz, when just starting out in the business, I forgot who he pissed off. I think he pissed off, I don't think it was Randy Orton.
I think it was Benoit.
Oh, it was Benoit.
It was Benoit. That's why I don't know about this.
The Miz put his bag in Chris Benoit's like locker, like where Chris Benoit's locker was. Miz put his bag up there. And apparently that was so disrespectful. Chris Benoit made the Miz change in the hallway for like a year and a half. He wasn't allowed to get changed in the locker room with the guys.
Wow.
He had to change out in like the broom closet, like in the hallway.
Yeah, because of, you know, like wrestler's court and whatnot.
Yeah.
I'm not deep diving wrestler's court. It's stupid. So he was traveling with him, actually, and when they were traveling and close to Georgia, he was actually able to stay with Chris. Chris had moved to rural Georgia because of his lone wolf style, and Chris told him that he's private, so he didn't want Chavo to tell people where he stays. So one night later on, they go out to eat, and he noticed that Chris was consistently ordering tequilas, and after a few beers, he said that Chris wouldn't drink often, but when he did, he would overindulge. Same with his eating. Like, he would eat a whole cheesecake instead of, like, a piece of a cheesecake. So after this, the next morning, they wake up late, and then Chris makes his flight, but Chavo does not. And then Chavo leaves an hour later. They were in North Carolina. Chris flew to Georgia, and Chavo flew to Texas. And then he receives a call from Chris Benoit, just checking on him, seeing if he made it okay, and all was good. In 2.5 days, they were supposed to hook up again, and on early Saturday, Chavo landed in Dallas, where they're supposed to rendezvous. So he calls Chris, and
they were going to meet up and then go to the next show.
Yeah, the next city, which happened to be...
It was Survivor Series. No, it was a house show.
It was Belmont.
Yeah.
So he calls Chris, and there was no answer. Then he suddenly gets a call back from Chris Benoit, who he said sounded off, and he asked if he was okay, and he said... Chris said that he was okay, but he had had a really bad weekend with Daniel and Nancy both being sick. They were dead, by the way.
At this point, he's having a phone call with Chavo Guerrero saying, "Yeah, I had a bad weekend. Nancy and
Daniel was sick.
Are sick.
They're not feeling good.
Yeah, they're not feeling too good at all.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're fucking dead.
Yeah. Like, no, they aren't feeling good. And he said he missed his flight. But he's going to catch another one because they had to drive together to Belmont.
Wait, what point is this? What day is this?
This is Friday.
Saturday. This is Saturday.
Okay.
Yep. No, this was after he murdered his wife and kid, but before he killed himself.
Yes. Gotcha. So, and Chavo said he was going
to... It was after.
Probably,
yeah,
it
true.
Was.
That would be weird.
It was. And Chavo said he was going to wait for him. and he's about to get off. I mean, and as he's about to get off the phone, Chris Benoit stops Chavo and he says, and I quote, "Chavo, I love you." And he says it back. Chavo said it back. And then Chavo said this time it felt different because they would always do it before. But this time it felt like Benoit was trying to make a point to tell him this. So Chavo called him immediately right back because he said it felt strange. And he asked him again, "Are you okay?" Which Benoit said, "Yeah, man. I just had a very tough weekend." He murdered his family, by the way.
That's about as tough as weekends
get. That is a tough weekend, if you think about it. I've never been through it, so I wouldn't know how tough it is.
Yeah.
But it's a tough weekend. My car doesn't start.
That's a tough weekend.
That is a tough. But for Chris, it was murder. But so Benoit says he had to take Daniel and Nancy to the hospital once again. This is a lie. They were dead by this point. Chavo told him okay and said, "I'm here if you need anything." And after that, he hung up. And this was the last time he spoke to Chris ever again. So after this, he was told that Chris called Scott Armstrong, which is a referee, and they were all traveling together at the time. And he said Chris kept calling, he kept calling Benoit after this, and he said it was always no answer. They then went to the house show, and they kept asking the guys in the back who were like the
producers. At this point, they're at a house show, and Chris Benoit isn't there.
What is a house show?
So a house show, WWE will have house shows, and basically there's the Raw and the SmackDown shows, there's the pay-per-views, and then when they go to towns, on like, you know, a fucking Wednesday night to just perform. It's basically it's a non-TV show.
Yeah,
and that's usually where if a wrestler wants to try out a new gimmick, see how it gets over with the crowd, they'll try on house shows. It's just a way for them to tour towns and places without it being on TV.
Yeah, if it happened at a house show, it technically didn't happen.
So it's not like part of their like greater narrative or anything
No, every once in a while they'll have something happen like just to swerve the audience, a title will change hands at a house show. But 9 times out of 10, if you go to a house show, you're going to see like at least 2 title matches, but they're going
to, or if they want to make up, if they want to make up a belt, they'll say that there was a tournament at some house show in like Japan and it would like, it never would have happened, but they just wanted to give it a reason because no one would know.
They're a lot more laid back too. A lot of the wrestlers are allowed to be a little bit more creative.
Do whatever the fuck they want.
They can do a little bit more, like be a little bit more off cuff because it's a house show.
Okay. So the guys in the back, the producers kept asking, "Where's Chris?" Because the next night was a pay-per-view. And Chavo replied with, "I don't know. He missed his flight. He'll be at the show. I mean, he'll be at the next show, though."
Because they're trying to cover for his friend.
Yeah, which was Night of Champions. So the next morning at around 5 a.m., he gets a text from Chris Benoit.
What morning is this? Sunday?
This is Sunday.
This is the chilling part. Yeah, like, every time I hear this.
The next morning at around 5 a.m., he gets a text from Chris waking him up. The text reads, "The dogs are in the closed pool area. The garage door is open." And that's all.
That's all the text said.
Yep.
Wow.
And he said, that's weird, but he chalked it out to how terrible texting was in 2007. Because, you know, you would miss text every now and then. And,
you get a random text message from like
a day ago.
"I'm on my way to get the eggs." And then that happened a week ago. And you'd be like, what?
And you'd be like, what the fuck?
But then
he gets another text, this time from Nancy's
phone.
Saying the same thing.
The dogs are in the closed pool area and the garage door's open.
And she like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And Java was like, what the fuck is this?
He just was like, this is weird too. That's all he chalked it up as.
Why did he say that? From both phones.
We don't know.
I don't know, but
he's dead, so I can't really ask him.
That's a good point.
So he goes downstairs and sees Scotty Armstrong, and he asked him, "Did you get any weird texts last night?" And he said, yeah, he got the same exact thing from Chris. And they were the same exact texts about the dogs. And then they called him, and they got no answer repeatedly.
Because at this point, he's dead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then they go to the pay-per-view and still get no answer, and people are asking where he's at. And they cover for him. They thought something was going on, in which Arn Anderson, who is a producer for WWE, he also, like, he helps guys plan out their matches and shit like that. He says, because Chris was supposed to wrestle CM Punk for the ECW title that night, "You know what? If Benoit didn't show up with no word, he's either taken off to Alaska to become a merchant marine," which everyone was like, that's right up his alley. He'd do some weird shit like that. "Or he's dead."
Well,
in a joking way. He was dead, by the way.
But a little trivia, since, you know, Mackenzie just joined us. I got some trivia. Do you know who CM Punk faced for the ECW championship?
John Morrison.
John Morrison, the mayor of Slamtown.
AKA Jin.
You can see the mayor of Slamtown on Survivor, and you can see us cover it, the Outlast Podcast, yes, which we'll be recording after this is over with.
He filled in.
But yeah, Johnny Nitro filled in and won the ECW championship. So if something good came from this.
Yep. So the next day they were in Corpus Christi. I call it Corpus because it is literally unanimously known that whenever WWE runs a show there, the crowd is literally dead for most of the time. Like, they don't give a fuck about what's going on in the ring. It's the worst. I don't know why they still go there. It literally sucks.
Money. Yeah, why they go to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, but Corpus Christi is just literally like at least the fans over there, like, give a fuck. Corpus Christi looked like they don't even want to be there. But so they go there for a super show, and a super show is when both brands would be on the same show, Raw and SmackDown. And still, they didn't know anything that happened. So Chavo then goes to Johnny Ace, or Johnny Laurinaitis, who's the head of talent relations, and shows him his phone, in which Johnny says in his shitty voice, "Chavo, why didn't you show me this yesterday?
Why'd you not show me this yesterday?"
Yeah, so John Laurinaitis was wrestling in a match in
Japan. John Laryngitis.
Yeah. He was wrestling a match in Japan, and I think, like, somehow he fucking broke one of his, like, I think somehow his, like, neck or something happened to his neck, and his voice has been shitty ever since then.
He always sounds like this all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. Where's the supermodels at?
That's basically how it is. So Chavo says, "I was trying to cover for him." So then Chavo guesses they called the Atlantic police. I mean, the Atlanta police. And that was the last thing he heard until around an hour later. WWE calls a big meeting around the ring with the wrestlers, which they do periodically for, like, team meetings. So they'll just call all the, like, wrestlers down to the ring and just, you know, say, we're doing pretty good this month or some shit like that. It'll just either be big announcements or just, like, for team morale. And then they go to the meeting and they're sitting there. Chavo then looks over to the man with the most drip, Ric Flair, who was sitting next to him, who was crying, and he says, "Rick, what's going on?" Rick replies, "They're gone." And he says, "What do you mean?" And by the way, this is before it was announced. Rick says, "Daniel, Nancy, and Chris, they're gone." And then Chavo yells, saying, "What do you mean they're gone?" Because he wanted to hear it from his mouth, and Rick says, "They're dead." Then his heart drops, and Vince didn't announce it, so he's sitting there with his head in his hands, saying to himself, "What? Are you kidding me? This is 2 years after Eddie died." Sure enough, Vince announces it, saying he doesn't know the circumstances at the time, but he says that the family are no longer with us. They don't know how the circumstances are. They don't know what it is, so they're going to take tonight and turn it to a tribute show for Chris. So Chavo grabs Vince in the back, which I kind of not for sure. Maybe Vince was being extra nice this day.
I mean, his best friend dies.
I know, like, but it's like, it's hard picturing Vince being, you know, like, "Come here, pal.
Come here, pal.
You need a good hug.
Let Papa Vince console you.
Yeah, give me a good hug.
But why blow your nose with my millions of dollars?"
Yeah, it was one of those. But he says, he grabs Vince in the back and asks what happened. And Vince just hugs him. And Chavo is crying, saying, "Not again. Not again." So Jericho says that he had gotten a call from Brian Gerwitz, who was one of the producers in the back, saying that he had to tell him something. This is before.
Yeah, and I was like, "I'm going to tell you something you're going to love."
Yeah, this is before the Chris Benoit. They found out about that shit. He was like, "I'm going to tell you something you were going to love."
At this point, when this whole happened, Chris Jericho didn't work for WWE.
Yeah.
Like, he just was taking time. He was about to come back, okay. But at that present time, Chris Jericho took, like, time off to, like, just because he was just
Fozzy or whatnot.
Well, at that point, he was burnt out. Ah, he was like, "I'm just burnt out with wrestling, so I need a break."
Yeah, usually it's like, "I'm going on tour with Fozzy," which was originally, he was going to tell him something he was going to love, which was originally for Raw. They were going to have Bruce Campbell on for the funeral for Vince. So from The Evil Dead and whatnot.
Yeah. Why him?
Just for some probably shits and giggles. They always have random celebrities on whenever they can get one.
They had Bob Barker on an episode of Raw one time.
Yeah.
Hosting The Price is
With
Raw.
With this really long microphone.
This is The Price is Raw.
That was a thing.
It was a great thing. It was funny.
So Jericho misses the call because he was working out with his son. He then called him back and said that Brian's whole tone was different. Brian told Jericho, "You're not going to want to hear this." Which Jericho was confused because he just told him he was going to want to hear it. Brian then said, "He's gone." And Chris said, "Who?" Because he thought Brian said earlier in the message something about Vince burying him.
Yeah, he thought it was going to be like Vince coming on TV and being like, fuck Chris Jericho. So he sucks.
So basically what burying is like getting on like shitting on a wrestler, like having a wrestler lose a match for literally no reason. And
basically anything that makes the wrestler look worse than when they started is burying.
Yes.
So, for example, there was this group called the Nexus, and they were like this group of like fresh up and coming, like the future of wrestling. And like they debuted by taking out John Cena, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, like choked a announcer, like this huge, like, who are these people? Like, wow. And then at the pay-per-view, John Cena single-handedly beat them all.
Oh my God, that's
and killed their momentum. Yes. And that's being buried because now five of you couldn't beat John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
So why should I give a fuck?
Yeah.
So anytime anybody makes lessens a wrestler's effect is basically a burial.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So then he said, no, Chris, and the whole family. Jericho then pulled over and started crying, which his son said, Daddy, you cry funny. Jericho then asked, how is all three of them dead? He was thinking...
He thought it was a carbon monoxide.
Carbon monoxide. Yeah. It was not that.
That's... Would have been a lot nicer.
Better, yeah. Chavo said no one in the back knew. And when everyone found out, Jericho says, we still really don't know what went down that day. But Jericho says that's not the guy they knew. Jericho still thinks it was the concussions, and it says it gives him some type of closure on it.
Yeah, it was funny because when Sandra's on it talking, she's like, yeah, maybe if, you know, the neurologist came from like Yale or something and not some fucking college in like Boston, maybe I'd believe him. But like, you know, I don't believe that it was anything to do with concussions. And then Chris Jericho's like, oh, yeah, okay. And then like in his episode with Chavo, he's like, I firmly believe it was concussions. So like it was just funny to me. Like, I feel like she like was so firmly on like he didn't have concussions. It wasn't that. And Chris Jericho was just like, all right, I'm not going to argue with you. But like it was, I don't know. I thought it was funny.
But let's get into the juicy shit now. The juicy details.
Yeah, so this is how we did it. And this is what happened.
All right, so like he just said, this is how we did it.
If people are uncomfortable, maybe you should like skip ahead.
So let's deep dive into what actually happened that night in the Benoit family household that saw the death of a wrestling family. So let's start off with Nancy. So on Friday, June 22nd, Chris Benoit killed his wife Nancy in an upstairs bedroom. Her limbs were bound and her body was wrapped in a towel. A copy of the body was left by, a copy of the Bible was left by her body. Injuries indicate that Benoit had pressed a knee into her back while pulling on a cord around her neck, causing strangulation. Blood was also found under her head, suggesting that she may have tried to fend off Chris. Officials said that there were no signs of immediate struggle. However, toxicologists found alcohol in her body, but were unable to determine whether it had been present before the death or was a decomposition product. Decomposition also made it difficult to estimate pre-death levels of hydrocodone and absopalam or some of the fuck found in therapeutic levels in her body. In any case, her medical examiner saw no evidence that she was sedated as her son had been when he was killed. So this is on Friday. So then we move on to
Saturday morning.
Daniel, his son, was suffocated and killed.
What's Daniel doing this whole time?
Is sleeping. He just sleeping. Asleep? Yeah.
Okay. So
Chris kills Nancy and then, you know, lets his son sleep throughout the night, probably because, you know, he's a psychotic, having a psychotic break. And it's probably like, I killed my wife. Oh my God, he's going to wake up and see his mom dead. I got to kill him too.
Yep.
As what I'm assuming is possibly what was going on. I'm not going to speak on behalf of anybody, but like that's probably what happened.
So Daniel was
psychiatrist.
Daniel was then suffocated and killed in his bedroom, and a copy of the Bible was left by his body.
Yeah.
Daniel had external injuries to the throat area, showing no bruises. Daniel's exact time of death is unknown. The reports determined Daniel was sedated with Xanax, was likely unconscious when he was killed. Daniel's body had also started to show signs of decomposition, but not as far as long as his mother's body.
So. And that was Saturday morning.
Yep, so Saturday.
And here's how he killed himself.
So after that, he does all the, you know, weird phone calls and stuff like that.
Because, Sandra said it was kind of like, You know, he was coming like in and out of like the psychotic break. You know, he was like having this episode where he kills his family, but then snaps out of it and then goes, I need to get to the show. I better start planning my flight. And then going back into being, you know, going back into a psychotic break where he's like, you know, doing all these other things. So he was like going in and out of like consciousness, I guess is the word.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
So during this time, he calls Chavo, Scotty Armstrong, and then he leaves text messages for all those people and an unknown person. He left a voicemail for an unknown friend. Benoit he later calls WWE Talent Relations office stating that his son was vomiting and that he and Nancy were at the hospital with him. He also stated that he would be taking a later flight into Houston when he was scheduled to face CM Punk, but he did not make that event. So then Chris, according to the district attorney, committed suicide by hanging. So Benoit used a weight machine cord to hang himself by creating a noose from the end of the cord on a pull-down machine from which the bar had been removed. When Benoit released the weights, the move caused strangulation and snapped his neck. And he was found hanging from a pulley cable. And this is after he had searched for ways, the easiest and quickest ways to kill, to snap the neck.
Yeah.
Yep.
In his Google search.
So
he Googles the quickest and easiest way to like break your neck. And then basically devises a plan with a weight system, like with his like weight like workout equipment, and then kills himself. Like it was something that like, you know, a normal person in like the normal mindset could not do.
Honestly,
the strength you would have to pull that off, like, so it's insane.
And like dedication,
yeah,
towards doing that. It's kind of, all the deaths seem really weird. Like, why bind your wife if you could like clearly overpower her?
We're saying, you know, it's
yeah, that's where there's like weird moments where he's like putting a whole lot of effort into this and he's also like totally gone off the deep end.
And the police say that no one besides him could have done it because of the strength. And they hypothesized that the pressure of winning the belt was what killed him. So also it's like to think the thought process of, okay, now I have to kill myself, and here's how I'm going to do it. So after you kill all those people, and he's still in the house while this is happening. Like, his family is just dead upstairs.
What did he do that rest of that time?
He just lived in his house with his dead wife and kid, like, in the house.
Yeah. Wow. And then he took those big-ass weights, put them on there, hung himself, and then pushed the weight off, snapped his neck. So that's how he died. And then after that...
And so then after that, the story gets out and like the media's like saying it's steroids, saying it's drugs, it's concussions. And, you know, and then you find out that Chris Benoit did do steroids. And literally that almost single-handedly shut down WWE.
The steroids thing?
Like the concussion, like drugs, concussions, and steroids, like.
So
they're like, you just had a wrestler kill himself and his family. Like, how did this get past you? How did you guys not catch this? Which, valid criticism, but I don't think it's 100% fair.
Yeah, I feel like there wouldn't even be
a
criticism nowadays.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at like, well, I guess it would be, but like that kind of stuff happens all the time, like horrific brain injuries in the NFL.
Why concussion protocol is such a big thing now. Yeah. So shit like that doesn't happen.
It used to be back in the day, you could get a concussion and still wrestle the match.
Yeah. There's actually a Larry King interview. Larry King has Chris Jericho, John Cena, and Rowdy Piper on. And they're talking about, it's literally like during this while it's going on. And like, and they're talking, and like, it's funny because like, oh no, it wasn't Rowdy Piper. I'm sorry. It was Bret Hart. Bret Hart is talking about how, like, you know, yeah, this happens in wrestling. Like, he's taking the stance. John Cena's toeing the company line, being like, you know, the drug policy of WWE is immense care and this. And then Chris Jericho's like, nah, bullshit. My friend killed somebody. Like, and then he's just, it's just crazy to see, like, the three sides of everything. Yeah. Like,
so they do say back to the murder that there was no suicide note found during the initial investigation. But a note was later discovered in another Bible that had been included in Benoit's possessions that was sent to his first wife. According to the pro wrestling journalist Dave Meltzer, there was a note that was found in a Bible by the mother of Chris's two children, Martina Benoit, who lives in Canada. The Bible was mixed in with Chris's personal belongings that were shipped with them. Chris Benoit's father, Michael Benoit, stated he had a handwritten notation in there saying, "I'm preparing to leave this earth."
You should have said, "The dogs are in the enclosed pool area and the garage door is open."
Yeah. So
that's so weird. Like, it doesn't even really make, like, if you're like, "Well, I'm gone. This is where the dogs are in case you want to know."
Yeah.
Like, the garage door's open. That's, I guess as a whole, that seems like such a weird footnote to end it on.
And so now the whole aftermath of this, you know, obviously, you know, it almost brings down WWE. Wrestling once again is like, oh, it's all about drugs and steroids and concussion protocols. Chris Benoit's oldest son tries to make it in wrestling and no company books him because his last name is Benoit.
He was still so dedicated to making his last name Benoit. He didn't even want to be like, "Well, what's his oldest son's name?"
David. I don't know why he doesn't just use a different ring name. Yeah. I guess that's not the point.
Kind of looks similar. Yeah.
But that's the thing. Like, he kind of looks like him. He's a Benoit. And even if, like, you wrestle under, "Hey, I'm, you know, John Smith the Third," you know, you're still Chris Benoit's kid.
So
very true.
I will say, just to add some things of what happened afterward. So, a lot of other countries don't get shit on time. They get them in tape delay. So all the matches that did have them in it, they edited those out. We talked about the WWE Network thing. So in 2015, Chris Benoit was his name was mentioned as part of the WWE Network Monday Night Wars series that looks back on the fall of WCW. That was the first time they had mentioned his name on any WWE programming since 2007. And in 2009, interview Vince with WWE Magazine, Vince McMahon discussed Benoit's legacy, saying, "It's not right to pretend he didn't exist. So one thing to include him as part of a historical perspective, which I believe is okay, and it's another thing to promote him, which is not okay. The situation is very similar to that of O.J. Simpson. Despite his controversy, O.J. was still a part of the NFL scene. You can't deny that he existed." And Benoit is listed in the WWE Encyclopedia where his wrestling career up to where he lost the WWE Heavyweight Championship. I mean, the World Heavyweight Championship to Randy Orton. And promotional materials for the Royal Rumble pay-per-view, Wrigley stated that two wrestlers have ever won the Royal Rumble match for number one. However, only Shawn Michaels is mentioned in that. Chris had also won it at number one, too, but they don't mention that.
Yeah, they do this thing where it's like, "Here's why the Royal Rumble's great, by the numbers." And then they'll be like, only two men have won the Rumble, coming in at number one, and one of them's Shawn Michaels. And then they'll just glaze upon it. And
yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep.
And then in WWE 2K15, in the 2K showcase mode, which is like those showcases, they'll pick a certain wrestler's career and then they'll do like, you can play through it. They have one called Better Friends, Bitter Enemies circulating around the rivalry between Triple H and Shawn Michaels from 2002 to 2004. It was mentioned that after the Last Man Standing match at 2004 Royal Rumble, both Triple H and Shawn Michaels would compete in a triple threat match at WrestleMania, which neither of them won. But the third competitor in the match, which is Chris Benoit, is not mentioned.
Yeah, they'll be like, neither one of them won, but they didn't tell you who won it.
That's really odd.
Yeah, they'll be like, and both these men went on to compete at WrestleMania in a triple threat match, but they both lost.
You're like,
all right, next.
All right.
Yep, and
that's how they do it. They'll still acknowledge. They'll acknowledge it exists when they have to, but other than that, we don't have to talk about Chris Benoit.
They do that, like, I feel like, way better than I would think most other, like, companies that deal with controversies like that would, or at least they eradicate it in like a much stronger sense.
Well, it helps when you have a network that you can literally control what's on it, like.
And it helps when
like your entire product is scripted too. Like,
yeah.
It's very easy for me to not talk about Chris Benoit on WWE when I have to say my script every single week.
Yeah, you know,
this would never happen on the indies because nothing's scripted, you know. Someone would probably use Chris Benoit to get over because it'd be heat.
Yeah.
So.
And then after this, there became like a huge manhunt from the government trying to get at WWE for steroids, which they have done before back in the day.
Yeah.
But so Chris's the personal doctor for Chris Benoit was this guy named Dr. Phil C. Austin III, which I'm not 100% sure about this. I didn't get to research completely and get into it, but he was a personal doctor for Chris Benoit. And then his attorney, Manny Arora, asked the judge to throw evidence seized during a raid on Austin's office after Benoit and his family died. And he claimed the search exceeded authority granted the search warrant. So after all this, he admitted to illegally prescribing drugs to Chris and all that. And he would do it without examining the patients and shit. So he pleaded guilty to 175 counts against him and was sentenced to 10 years in prison. So the cops went on a fucking manhunt. Yeah,
Chris Benoit's personal doctor, like, prescribed him medications, like, basically illegally, that, you know, led to him fucking killing his family and himself. And then it's kind of like when Michael Jackson's doctor went to prison after he died.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, except to a, I don't know if I would say lesser degree, but.
Yeah.
Well, you said something in there about how the neurologist said there was no, he had no indications of Alzheimer's. What I had heard previously, which I guess is not true, is that his brain was like that of like an 80-year-old Alzheimer's patient. Like, it was so severely damaged.
That's another report that I have heard. Yeah, so
that's another report too. That was what Sandra said, but
which is insane if that's true.
His father, Michael Benoit, has also said the otherwise. So it's kind of like maybe there's somewhere in the middle that you can believe, but
you kind of have to imagine that, like, a career like that where he's taking that much head trauma.
Yeah.
It has to be something seriously wrong.
Here's what we're gonna end it off here. So there's a biopic titled Crossface being developed, which will be based on Matthew Randazzo's book Ring of Hell, the story of Chris Benoit and the fall of the pro wrestling industry. It shows Benoit from his early days being trained by the Hart family.
They're making a movie about this?
Yep. To his rise with ECW, WCW, and WWE, to the deaths of his wife, son, and his own suicide. The movie was originally announced in 2011 with plans to begin filming in 2012. However, they were delayed. So, and also,
we don't need this to be a movie.
Mm-hmm. And in light of further reports on CTE, where numerous wrestlers were diagnosed postpartum with CTE, there has been a huge lawsuit filed by a lot of wrestlers towards WWE, which they're still going through now.
Yeah,
so
there are still wrestlers who are like suing because they're like, nah, fuck you. I'm going to die when I'm 40 because of my brain. Like,
yeah, because you made me wrestle when I had a concussion.
Yeah, even though in some cases it wasn't WWE, but they kind of don't know who to sue now.
I mean, NFL
WWE
players are doing
them.
The same thing too.
Yeah, like, but yeah. So in the end,
is there any names attached to that project?
The movie?
Not anymore. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, no.
I didn't even know there was a movie until
there was a
second ago.
I remember when it was announced.
I feel like you got to wait longer than just over 10 years.
David Hasselhoff plays Chris Benoit. Yeah.
I mean, they did that. They did that Foxcatcher movie.
It's been like 20, 30 years.
Yeah, but I was gonna say it's been much, much longer. Like, it's barely been 10 years.
But so that is the end of the very sad story of Chris Benoit, a story with high highs and lowest of lows.
Yeah. And
so did you ever explain the Bible thing?
No, nobody literally knows what
he just opened up the Bibles and put
they open any specific passages?
Nope. He just opened up and put them next to Daniel. Nancy.
And he wasn't even religious.
He wasn't religious at all.
Really interesting.
Yeah. And that's where, he's dead. The world lost a woman and her child, a kid who didn't even get to live to the point where he'd probably be a teenager right now. And they lost him, and two kids lost a father to something like fucked up where they can't even really talk about it because they probably get shit on about it. And wrestling as a whole.
Changed forever.
Yep. Some for the good and some for the bad. Because WWE after this went hardcore PG.
Yeah.
To where they're like a children's company now. So, yeah. Or no, a family friendly company.
That's really interesting. I feel like the whole thing, there's like clear moments where he was like unhinged, but like he still like has this really weird deranged clarity.
Yeah.
Where like he knows exactly what he's doing, but like it's also like he's committing horrendous crimes, and it's really odd to think about that. He's like, yeah, like he's just like carefully calculating the murder of his, you know, his wife and his son, and then himself. And then he's like, I gotta get here.
Because that's the thing. Like, it'd be one thing if, like, you know, it'd be one thing if
It was all concurrent, I think. Like, if it was all one night, he just murdered everybody and himself.
Yeah, it'd be or even if, like, you know, you found out, like, you know, his wife and kid were just like choked, and then like he, like, you know, OD'd on drugs.
It was,
or,
they were
like,
all different.
And he had an the way he killed himself was planned. Like, it had to. There was no way you could do that easily. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even that's the thing. Like he had the mindset to elaborately plan this entire thing. And then the Bible thing. Like,
yeah, the Bible thing to like, me is where not it's something like, this was thought like, out.
This was not a oh my God, what the fuck have I done kind of thing. This was a very much a...
He's like you and then you and then
a planned
you.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the crazy thing too because like, you know, you're... I don't know.
Yeah, he's...
It's really weird because I feel like most times you hear serial killers, you're like, well, they were insane and that's why they did it. But I feel like there's like such weird like things like that Bible thing. And like him talking on the phone to all these people and being like, well, I got to get to the next match or whatever. They're sick.
Yeah.
It's like a really weird, like, to the point where you're like, well, there's something there.
Yeah.
There's That's something really odd there, to think but about. You're not, yeah, you're not quite able to pull
yeah, like,
on
he's
it
not
yet.
Like totally, I mean, he is insane but like, but there's something, it's just like.
He was having, like I said earlier, he was having like breaks.
In and out. Yeah.
He was in and out.
Yeah.
There are moments when he was like lucid and like clear and like not. You know, a
it's
fucking...
totally crazy. It also, I kind of wonder, like, if there was one singular thing where it was just like tonight it's happening.
Yeah,
like,
no,
what? Like
that
feels
I
like
want
if
to know
he
the
dealt
night.
With all that stuff. Like, what was the final thing? That,
yeah,
like,
was
there
like an argument, or did he just like fucking was like she made that barbecue a little bit not good enough, and he was like, "Fuck, I'm killing you," and killed everyone. Like, I just want to know. But you, like I said, that
made barbecue
you
chicken.
Know what?
I want to pull pork,
and that's how we can end the story at the end. You will never know.
Yeah, that's the thing that even Chris happened. Jericho says. He's like, we're never going to know. And that's why a lot of wrestling fans like are still talking about it. Because it's like...
That's why we're still talking
about it. That's why we're talking about
I'm
it.
I'm not going to deep dive into this, but there's also the reason why people think that he was murdered by someone else. So an hour or two before... I think a day before the announcement of everybody that had died, it was posted on Wikipedia that his whole family was dead.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it was posted on Wikipedia that he died and everyone else died.
Before
it was even announced.
That's a really strange coincidence.
Yep.
That's true.
No, it's true.
Yikes.
Yeah. Or
Kevin
no,
Sullivan?
I think it might have been just him. I think it might have been like, no, it was.
It was one of those hoaxes that just happened
no,
to be
No, let me
this.
Check. Because I have it written down. But I didn't fucking feel like jumping into it. There was, that's what it was. It was Chris Benoit was replaced by Johnny Nitro for the ECW World Championship match.
Mayor of Slamtown.
As Chris Benoit was not there due to personal issues stemming from the death of his wife, Nancy. And that was added at 12:01 a.m. on June 25th. And the bodies
so before,
were discovered at
so
2.
So before it was announced. It said
so it was
Wikipedia
14 hours
that
early.
He got replaced because his wife died.
Yeah, 14 hours earlier.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's odd. I didn't even question. That's just weird.
Yeah, but yeah, you'll never know. And that is the fun thing about
until the movie comes out.
Until the movie comes out, and they fucking make it work.
And then they make it aliens.
Yep. But that is the fun thing about
demonic possession. Like
that's the fun thing about Conspiracy Club
of Chris Benoit.
Yeah,
that's the fun thing about Conspiracy Club because you'll never actually know what we're gonna talk about. So what are we talking about next week?
No, actually, we are talking about aliens.
Hell yeah. Well, there goes all that dark death shit on the
Hopefully
aliens.
It's a little zanier because aliens are
Oh, they're
as
fucking
a whole.
I've seen Men in Black. What a fun
That's what
movie.
I was going to talk about.
Do they play basketball against the Looney Tunes and Michael Jordan?
Yeah, the Monstars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be tuning in for that.
Yes. So
from Moron Mountain.
Yeah.
Join the club. Like Chad did, and like everyone does.
I got my
room.
Jacket in the mail. It was great.
Yes, I can't wait till we get leather jackets. But like everyone has in this club. Everyone
and more.
Yeah. Tom and Amir brand growing before your
Tom
eyes.
Tom and Chad and Amir.
And that is TOMCHADD.
Tom Chad.
And ANDEMIR.
It's actually just Tom and Amir.
Yeah,
Chad's not
Tom.
In there yet.
It's not yet.
It's implied.
Soon. But yeah, so.
I'll slowly start hosting this too.
So
it's
yeah.
About to be called Chadmore Media.
I don't like what is the like what is the no yeah our Twitter is at Tommy Amir
and our Instagram so follow those we'll post the links to the episodes and just other relevant like creepy stuff that we find throughout the day. Anything else you want to say? Anyone else?
No.
Anyone has to say about Chris Benoit?
No. I don't have anything to say about Chris Benoit, but I will say you should definitely follow me at the Chad 100.
Ah,
yes.
That's
my Twitter. If this story, it interested you and you want to learn more about wrestling as a whole, you can tune into my podcast. It's called Pinned, a pro wrestling podcast. I host that once a week. We normally just talk about Raw and SmackDown, unless, you know, I hate what happened and I'll talk about something else. But yeah, we jump right into wrestling. There's a bunch of interviews that we've had from wrestling shows like Chris Eric Bischoff, you know, Scott Steiner, you know, a lot of really legendary names. So check us out. You can find us at Pinned Podcast on Twitter, and you can also get us on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amor Media,
yeah.
Which you can follow at Amor Media Co. Yeah. That's all of our social media platforms.
Well,
like I always say.
Oh, I was just wanted to say.
What the fuck,
I'm sorry. I just wanted to say thank you to Chad for being on here and.
But now you're thinking guests, dude.
And
and
providing
this.
Amir with somebody that knows something about wrestling.
Hey, it was fun. Thanks for having me on.
No problem.
We can't wait to have you back.
Yeah, we're talking about the Von Erichs.
Yeah, that's what we're gonna have you back. All right,
now you can close it out.
All right, so like I always say before, I was rudely interrupted by the local sellout of this show, Tom.
Before we do that though, I also want to say real quick. You can check out.
That's why I quit this show.
Sip and Cinema. That's another podcast that us three and Grant have done. That's
this
out
is
now.
The longest outro.
We did our Thanksgiving special with Thanksgivings.
All right,
go ahead now.
Look at him. He's pissed off.
Sip and Cinema, Outlast, Pisses Pivot, all
yes,
of
that. Yes, but like I always say, finally, at the end of every episode.
That's fooked.
Fuck, that was David. Wow, that's fooked.
See you guys next week.
Fuck you. That's how it ends.